New on CuriosityStream, Darwin's Theory of Evolution, a scientific breakthrough, but 1920s Tennessee wasn't ready for it.
It became the Bible versus evolution.
Followed a heated trial that changed American education forever on Monkey in the Middle. And it's the country's deadliest highway.
There were something like 178 accidents in a two-year period.
Don't miss the most dangerous road in America. Watch now on CuriosityStream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit CuriosityStream.com.
Okay, so I've never been much of a Reddit guy, but have recently gotten on it out of interest of these isolated staircases found 30 or 40 miles in the woods. You know how it goes. A few hours pass and I find myself here. Anyways, I grew up in a military family, probably why I currently serve, and I've heard endless stories about combat, barracks, shenanigans, and things of that sort, so I never paid a whole lot of attention. One night my uncle told me a story I'd have a hard time forgetting. I realized this was because you never hear of ghost stories in the military, so here it goes. One night around 3 a.m., an MP sits alone at one of the back gates of a small National Guard post in Mississippi. It was cold outside, so he sat inside of his guard box with a small space heater and a cup of coffee. He would have to radio in every hour or so in order to let his command know that he was okay and nothing had occurred throughout the night. As he sat alone reading a book, he heard a small wail coming from a few hundred yards up the gravel road he was posted at. It was too dark to see that far, so he left the inside of his guard box to get a better look. At this point, he was startled because the scream sounded like something out of a horror film, deep and sorrowful. To his surprise, after staring into the darkness for a moment, a young woman appears. She was covered in blood and limping down the road. Still distraught and screaming, she makes her way closer and closer to him. At this point, the soldier takes off in her direction in order to provide her any medical aid he could. Once they meet, she starts screaming that she had a wreck a ways up the road and her child was in the car. She begged him to go save my child. Realizing how cold it was, he wrapped his fleece jacket around her bloody body, covering it in blood. He placed her back in the guard box and took off in a sprint down the road. He arrived to find a car flipped upside down and a small child unharmed and crying in the back. Once he removed the child and laid him on the road, he went to check if anyone else was in the car. When he arrived back at the car, he couldn't believe what he saw. The woman from before, bloody and dead, in the front seat still strapped in. He removed her from the car and checked her pulse. She was gone. He grabbed the child and hurried back to the guard box in order to radio up to his unit. Upon his arrival, he finds his fleece jacket lying on the ground outside the box without a trace of blood on it. Hope you all enjoyed this. Definitely gave me some chills when I heard it. People always associate ghosts with evil and negativity, but in this case, it just seemed like the mom's unfinished business was simply to save her child and had no need to roam the earth once that was finished. August 23rd, 11:30 p.m. So I've never had a diary before, but I feel like I need to let this out or I'll go crazy. It started today, morning. As soon as I woke up, as soon as I opened my eyes, I felt the mattress leaning to the left, pushed down by the weight of someone, something heavy lying next to me. Before I could turn around, I felt hot air blow onto my neck, like whoever was lying next to me was holding its breath, waiting for me to wake up. I immediately turned around and saw nothing, obviously, duh. I got up from my bed, thoroughly rubbed my eyes and pinched my arm just to make sure I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't. From the time I headed to the shower till I left school, the entire time I felt like I was being watched, like the pair of eyes staring at me were soon going to burn my neck. Surprisingly, as soon as I reached my home, turned the handle of the door and went in, the feeling of being watched just washed away like someone dropped a bedsheet in front of me. I wish the feeling of being watched stayed, though, because what came next was way worse, and it feels like it's never going to leave me. As soon as I entered my room, The air suddenly felt heavier, like I was trying to breathe underwater. A horrible, horrible feeling of suffocation. It's so damn frustrating how the air wouldn't just fill my lungs. No matter how much I inhaled and inhaled the air, it would just get stuck midway through my breath and get exhaled. I tried to relax and meditate, but the feeling is still there and it feels like it's not going to leave. So I'm just going to try and relax and sleep, and maybe I'll wake up better tomorrow. August 24th, 10 p.m. The fact that I thought I would just wake up better makes me sick. How did I not know that what happened wasn't normal? I woke up today at 4:30 a.m. in total darkness with the same feeling like someone was sitting behind me, but this time they weren't breathing. They were chuckling. The feeling of someone being behind me didn't just vanish as soon as I turned around. Because when I did, I felt like I was staring at the someone laying with me in bed. The chuckling continued, this time feeling each breath hit my face as they chuckled. I jumped up from my bed, headed to the light switch, but before I touched the switch, the light immediately turned on and I felt the cool breeze of the night hit me from behind. Whatever was with me in bed left and left the window open. I didn't even check the window. I opened my room's door and ran to my mom's room, but she wasn't there. I had forgotten she had a very late night shift. I just sat in her bed, trembling and crying while I tried to doze off for a couple of hours before school. I woke up drenched in sweat to the sound of my mom opening the front door. Her shift ended at 6, so I knew it was time for school. I called mom from school and went home early today, saying I had a horrible headache. Anyways, I couldn't concentrate at all at school. I contemplated telling mom what was happening, but I was too tired and didn't have the energy for the "get off your phone and sleep early" rant. So I just slept all the way home. When I got home, I didn't even come close to my room. I just laid down on the couch and slept. I woke up and it was dark. I assumed mom went to work already and I was alone once again. It's 10 right now. I've been alone for 3 hours. The feeling of suffocation is back, but this time I feel like someone is grasping, clutching my throat. I'm trying to call mom, but there's no service. I don't know what's going on, but I hope I'm going crazy and that all that's happening is just my imagination. But it doesn't feel like it. August 25th, 11:50 p.m. I woke up today feeling different. The weight of a person laying next to me every morning is lifted. I didn't feel like I was being watched or suffocated. I was actually starting to believe I was imagining things and just had a couple of hard days. But then I saw it. I saw it. When I went to the bathroom after I woke up, I felt a little throbbing pain all over my neck. But I figured I just slept in a bad position. But while I was brushing my teeth, I looked in the mirror. And there it was, staring at me, smiling like it was its first time ever. The horrible-looking grin extended from its left ear to its right eye, where its place laid stitches, as if forcing its mouth to extend that long. In place of the left eye was a hole, with dark brown, gooey liquid dripping from it. The figure stood behind me in the tub, holding the shower curtain as if inviting me in. I kept washing my face again and again, but every time I leaned down and stood up again, the figure kept stretching out its hands, stretching, stretching, and stretching, until it finally reached me, grabbed my neck, and kept choking me. The horrible grin was still fixed in the mirror. The remaining gaping hole maintained contact with my eyes, until I blacked out. I woke up on the bathroom floor, with bruises all over my neck. Nighttime has fallen, and I keep hearing voices. At first, they weren't clear, sounded like just whispers or muffled wind. But now I hear it clearly. It's calm and relaxed, almost soothing, telling me to go to the woods. I've covered every mirror, and I'm scared to leave my mom's room. But I hear tapping on the window, and I know the face is staring at me. Thursday morning, August 26th at 4 p.m., I reported my daughter missing. 16 hours after she disappeared. A couple of hours later, she was found by some hikers hanging from a tree. Her death was ruled out as a suicide. I knew Emma would never do this to herself, to me, but now I'm so damn sure she didn't. I'm the worst parent ever. I feel horrible. I could have prevented this. I'm writing this here as I'm sobbing and crying, holding the last words my daughter ever wrote, because I never found a goodbye note. I never got an explanation. But it was all here, under my pillow. My son's heartbeat grows irregular whenever he has another seizure. His muscles will clench and relax in tune to the whole ordeal. Short twitches alternate with lengthy trembles, interjected every now and then by a short moment of calm. There is a certain rhythm to it all, and it repeats over and over. Twitch, 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 pause. It's not a simple rhythm, not the rhythm a casual observer could pick up on. Twitch, pause. It used to be even longer and more intricate. Twitch, tremble, twitch, twitch, pause. But recently my son has been getting better at controlling these episodes. While it lasted up to half an hour in the past is now over in a matter of minutes. Twitch, tremble, tremble, twitch, pause. I should feel happy about these attacks growing less and less severe, but I'm not. When they happen, I will sit there and silently track the beat, waiting for any irregularities that may break the pattern. Twitch, 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 pause. Twitch, pause, twitch, tremble. Twitch, twitch, pause. Twitch, tremble, tremble, twitch, pause. I love my son. I hope his seizures will last forever. The irregular heartbeat is a new development, but the seizures are not. He has been suffering from them ever since he was born. His muscles cramp and spasm. Droll drips from his lips as his jaw locks down. His breathing grows constrained. Afterwards, a few minutes of dazed disorientation. No doctor could ever tell us what's wrong. Probably some subtle neurological issue. He preferred staying inside because of these attacks, while other boys of his age explored the nearby woods or raced their bikes down the steep hill at the western side of town. He chose to sit inside to read comics or play with his Legos. I try to spend time with him as often as possible to make up for this isolation. We snuck through in the attic, looking for lost treasure within the mounds of unpacked moving boxes. We build massive pillow forts spanning across multiple rooms. We learned Morse code and communicated wordlessly from one room to the other by banging on the radiator pipes. We had a great connection back then, but that ended 2 months ago, when he was hit by his worst episode. We found him lying on the living room floor, his eyes rolled back, his body contorted, blood dripping from his mouth after he had bitten deeply into his tongue. His right arm kept slamming against his chest. His voice kept groaning and babbling in nonsensical bursts of sound. We rushed him to the hospital as fast as possible. They injected him with something that helped his muscles to relax, but nobody could tell us what was going on. We got the same answer as always. Probably some complex neurological issue. Whatever had caused the attack, it left our son permanently changed. He had always been slightly withdrawn and shy, but he has also been filled with curiosity and a childlike energy. He'd screw open our TV set to learn what it looked like on the inside. He'd sketch out a layout of our house after reading about secret rooms hidden between walls in one of his teen detective novels. He'd draw massive picture books, detailing massive adventures he pictured himself having. Now, after the attack, he sat in his room, unmoving, staring into space. I tried to animate him into returning to normal, tried to spend as much time as possible with him, only to be rejected again and again by a sudden universal disinterest. The overall seizures had gotten worse as well, even though we tried to hide the fact for some reason. One time I checked in on him at night, after hearing some concerning sounds and found his body jolting and contorting in bed, even as he slept. His dreamlike voice mumbled something over and over again. I stepped closer to hear what he was saying, but the moment I approached, he jumped up, suddenly awake. Another time I found him sitting in the kitchen, once again staring blankly at nothing, while his left hand moved with sudden jerky motions. The fingers ran through a spilled pile of sugar, guided by the strange spasm, painting some sort of pattern into the white surface. He was completely unaware of what his hand was doing. When he noticed my confused gaze, his eyes drifted down, and a shocked look spread on his face. He quickly pulled his arm away and erased the pattern before I had any chance to look at it. It was a frustrating affair to see all of this happen, unable to do anything. I grew more and more irritated until I had enough. It was during another episode. I found him sitting in his room, just staring at nothing again, his body twitching and trembling while his breath grew ragged. There had to be something I could do. I stormed to the bathroom and pulled out our emergency medical supply box. There, nestled between a pack of gauze and a blood pressure apparatus, lay a stethoscope. I had no idea what I really thought it could accomplish. Some irrational part of me kept insisting that I'd somehow be able to do what armies of specialists and doctors had been unable to do, that I'd been able to figure out what was going on. I knew deep down that I wouldn't get anywhere. It didn't matter. At least, doing something proactive like this made me feel less powerless. I sat down next to my son and began listening to his heartbeat. He just kept sitting there, looking at me with an eerie disinterest. The wavering sound from within his chest made its way to my ears. Short bumps, lengthy fluttering, little pauses every now and then. Short pause. There didn't seem to be any rhythm to it, just a chaotic jumble. Short pause. And yet there was something familiar here. Something I knew. Short, long, short pause. My eyes drifted through the room as the uneven hammering continued. It looked strangely empty in here. Short, long pause. All of his toys and books and comics were gone, stashed away. The last few remnants of them were resting in the corner, gathering dust. If it hadn't been for this last pile, I would have never noticed the pattern. But just when I wanted to turn away again, I noticed the little leaflet among the clutter. A large line of letters were printed on its top. The Morse code alphabet. My eyes widened. I jumped to my feet and hurried to grab a pen and a piece of paper. This was insane. I was going insane. It was impossible that this could be. And yet I sat down again and started transcribing the heartbeat. Long pause. Short pause. "What are you doing, Dad?" my son asked. His voice was flat and without any intonation, yet when I looked up his face was twisted into an hostile mask of distrust. His eyes drifted back and forth between me and the paper on which I had started jotting down a series of dots and lines. "Don't you remember?" I asked. A shiver traveled down my spine. "He should have known what I was doing." He should have understood the moment he had seen it written out, yet his brows just furrowed, as if all those afternoons playing around with Morse code had long been forgotten. I swallowed. "I'm just scribbling around." I forced out a laugh. "Helps me think." He slightly relaxed, satisfied about the explanation for the moment. All the while, my hand kept writing. Long, short pause. Short, long pause. Long, short pause. The message continued longer and longer. My fingers trembled. Sweat started to build on my forehead. My mouth felt dry. "What are you doing, Dad?" The question sounded more aggressive this time. He was staring down at the paper. "Nothing. Just scribbling," I managed to get out. My voice was hoarse and shaky. This time he didn't buy it. This time he didn't relax. His body suddenly grew completely taut, and he fixed his attention at a point in the air. Veins began to show on his forehead. He turned red. His focus grew even more intense. He held his breath. And then his heart gave out one last irregular jutter before its beat returned to a normal, steady rhythm. "There, I'm better now," he said. "You can go now." It wasn't an offer nor a request. It was an order. I rose to my feet and gave him what I hoped was an innocent smile. Yeah, everything seems to be better now. I turned and started leaving. Everything is fine. In my hand, I still held the piece of paper containing the transcription of his heartbeat. My mind was racing. Lines and dots began forming letters. Letters clustered into words. Words began to form two short sentences. Help me, Dad. I'm trapped in here.
New on Curiosity Stream, Darwin's Theory of Evolution, a scientific breakthrough, but 1920s Tennessee wasn't ready for it.
It became the Bible versus evolution.
Followed a heated trial that changed American education forever on Monkey in the Middle. And it's the country's deadliest highway.
There were something like 178 accidents in a two-year period.
Don't miss the most dangerous road in America. Watch now on Curiosity Stream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit curiositystream.com.